Be blessed. God is with you. God is here. He is paying attention. So be blessed. Hey, if you don't know, we are streaming our podcasts. We've got our sermons and our Behind the Sermon series on iTunes. So if you can go, if you are an iTunes person, go search for Grapevine Church of Christ, subscribe to both of those, and they will automatically download to your device. Very exciting, the technology we have today. The lights may be flickering on and off today, by the way, just to let you know. Don't let it distract. Let's start off with some prayer, and we will begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being so gracious. Thank you for loving us at the expense of your Son. Thank you for coming to live with us, to learn what it means, God, to help us to learn what it means to be patient. Lord, thank you for putting yourself in our shoes. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving us hope when all hope seemed lost. Help us today to have ears to hear. Whatever has gone on this week, Lord, I pray that it has been in just a foretaste of today, Lord, that we can put aside those things that will distract, Lord, that we can call to mind those things that have prepared our hearts to hear this message, and that from this moment, from today, we can take this message forth, living it out and sharing it with our words. Lord, help us to be your people, because we declare boldly today, by meeting together, that you are our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope this has been a very encouraging series for you so far. I've had several people come up to me and say thank you and that it's been encouraging to them. I hope that it has been encouraging to every one of you. It's been a challenge to me on many levels. I've never spent this much time, 7 or 8 weeks, in the Beatitudes. So I'm learning. And so thank you for letting me talk through those things that I've learned. What's become a pleasant surprise to me has been how textured and layered these verses are, the Beatitudes. They have structure. They have order to them. Matthew knew what he was doing, and Jesus knew what he was saying. It's interesting how Jesus saying these things to an audience that some received well, some were irritated at the things he was saying. But I can bet almost anything that these words Jesus said were not easily forgotten. See, Jesus is doing something here. He's making sure that people know and understand just how much God cares and how much God sees the world, how he sees the world. And God cares for all of his children, not just the ones who are semi-religious or the ones who go to church. He desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Go ahead and go to that next slide. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. He also says this, he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. See, God cares for the rich. He cares for the poor. God cares for the strong, for the weak. He cares for the man, the woman, the old person, the young child, and he wants us to care for each other as well. Now, if you've been listening in this series, you've heard me talk a lot about how we treat each other. It isn't coincidence. The way we treat each other is, in my opinion, a direct reflection on our Christianity. The way we treat each other is, in my opinion, a direct reflection of how much we love and trust God. If you look at the first three Beatitudes, you see a focus on the people who are poor, those who have lost, and those who will not or cannot receive justice. Poor in spirit, those who mourn, and the meek. And in the fourth, blessed, Jesus addressed those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, in this sense, he's talking about living rightly and justice. Do we hunger and thirst after justice? Not justice for ourselves, but for others. Specifically, those first three types of people that he mentions. So in a way, Jesus is saying to his audience, do you want to be righteous? Do you want to live rightly? Do you want to have divine approval? Then look at those people around you. Those who are poor, pay attention to them. Those people who are mourning, who have lost, comfort them. Those people who won't demand anything for themselves, the meek, fight for them. Fight for those things they won't fight for, things they can't fight for. Seek justice for them. And if you hunger and thirst after God, you will be filled. You are blessed. So then he continues in verse 7. He says this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." It's almost as if he's telling us, if you want to be righteous, if you want to live rightly before God, then it begins with mercy. So what does it mean to be merciful? Mercy has a few meanings. Receiving mercy, I've heard, this is what I heard growing up. I love it, this definition. Receiving mercy is not getting what you deserve. I like that because, frankly, I'm very glad I have not gotten some of the things that I've deserved. To give mercy is to act on your compassion. You ever been compassionate for somebody but did nothing about it? Well, mercy is that extra little bit. It's acting on your compassion. In the most basic sense, mercy is not kicking someone when they're down. You know, when someone doesn't have the advantage that you have, it's not kicking them when they're miserable. Mercy is, in a lot of ways, helping those who are in misery. So have you known anyone in misery? Have you ever been miserable? Could you recognize someone who's in misery? Okay, so I have a game. Let's see if you can recognize the person in misery. Don't advance them until I say, okay, right here. See if you can guess who's in misery. That's probably a little hard because you probably can't tell. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Let's see. Can you guess who's in misery here? A little easier, right? I mean, if I was homeless and living in my car with my family, I would probably venture to guess I would be miserable. Okay, go to the next one. Maybe one. Maybe they're just mad. I don't know. But maybe it could be the guy or it could be both of them. This is a marriage situation. Have you ever known anyone who's in a marriage situation who's miserable? Okay, go to the last one. Okay, see if you can tell which one of these guys is miserable. You can go ahead and go to that next one, yeah. What if I told you it was the guy on the right? Could we recognize misery in others? It's all around us. People respond in different ways to misery. Some scream silently and then they remain alone. Some are overlooked. Some are taken advantage of. And then some try to take the advantage back. They say, I hate this position, so I'm going to take advantage of someone else so that I don't have to be in misery anymore. They're under this assumption that if they hurt or harm or coerce others, then they won't be miserable. So that's why you have people who do bad things to people. The sad fact is that in a lot of cases, when people realize that they have an advantage over someone else, they usually exploit it. Mercy counteracts the effects of misery, in my opinion. In the most miserable place in the world, some would say, Calcutta, India, Mother Teresa and her group of women showed mercy to people in misery. She couldn't save all of them. In fact, she couldn't save most of them. But what she was able to do is that she was able to treat these people with humanity. For some of these people who were dying in the street, all it took for them was eye contact and human connection. Her legacy still shows that same kind of mercy. She is helping people in the middle of their misery. I mean, imagine these people in India, they're dying in the streets. People here in America, some people die in the streets, and for a civilized world to let that happen, is that merciful? to help people in the middle of their misery. What I've experienced personally is that some people in the middle of their misery, they lash out and hurt others. We have been the recipient of miserable people. And the old saying is true, hurting people hurt others. You heard that statement? Go and show that real quick, Brian. Hurting people hurt people. So what do we do whenever somebody hurts us? Do we hurt them back? Do we seek their destruction? Do we seek justice? Now, I've probably done each of these, and when people act out of their misery and hurt others, they deserve what they get, don't they? I mean, this is where I struggle, because whenever I have felt miserable, I've done bad things to people. I mean, I've hurt. I've said things I regret, and I have done things. And I tell you, I'm very glad I did not get what I deserved. So knowing that I felt that way, could I for a second look past this person, look through their actions to see a person who needs mercy? A woman named Tamara Matthews lost control of her car. She slammed into a car carrying Sandra Walker and her husband. Now, Sandra's husband was killed immediately, and Sandra suffered a brain issue, a brain condition, injury, and she will never be able to live alone for the rest of her life. She will always have to have help. So Tamara, the one who caused the accident, she also lost her son in the accident, but she was convicted. Negligent homicide. And they were going to sentence her. Well, on the day of sentencing, Sandra asked for clemency. She didn't just ask for it, she cried for it. She felt compassion. She was empathetic. And she said, she is going through as much pain as I am feeling. Sandra, on the left there, was merciful. Are we merciful? Could we be that merciful in such a situation? Or even in a larger or a smaller situation? She clearly had the upper hand, didn't she? She could have made Tamara pay for her actions. Sandra was in the right, but she was merciful. Are we merciful even though others may not deserve it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, "The merciful will be found consorting with the publicans and sinners, careless of the shame they incur thereby, in order that they may be merciful. They cast away the most priceless treasure of human life, their personal dignity and honor, for the only honor and dignity they know is their Lord's own mercy, to which they alone owe their very lives." You ever thought about that in that way, that being merciful could bring shame to you? Would it be worth it? So Frank was a pilot during World War II. He was a good pilot. He was almost an ace. He had one kill away from being an ace. And so one day he was called to his airplane and told that he needed to scramble. He was the only pilot available at the time. A bomber had flown low over his position, and the bomber was, he had to go get it. That's what you do. And so he got in his airplane, and he saw it, and he went high, and as he started to dive toward the bomber, he noticed they were not firing back. He had his finger on the trigger, and he thought to himself, that's odd. So he slowed down behind the bomber and saw that the tail gunner was dead. He flew to the side and saw that the gunners in the side of the plane were not at their guns. They were tending to the wounded inside the aircraft. The aircraft was more damaged than any other craft he'd seen. He was surprised it was still flying. He flew up to the front of the aircraft and noticed that the entire front nose had been blown off, and he made eye contact with the pilots. The pilots looked at him with wide eyes and terror, because the pilot was doing everything he could to make this plane fly on only one engine in enemy territory. And what happened next was an act of mercy. The pilot nodded to him and led him to safety. When he crossed enemy territory, he waved at the pilot of the bomber and he went back. He could have shot him down. Frank had the advantage. He would have had every right to do so. He was the enemy after all. But he instead chose to see a pilot as a fellow human being. He showed mercy. The two men met 50 years later in the lobby of a hotel. Frank was actually Franz Stiegler and was a German pilot for the Luftwaffe. Charles Brown was the pilot of the bomber. The meeting reduced both men to tears. Mercy is courageous. Franz didn't say anything to his commanding officer. He could have gotten executed, or at worst, you know, court-martialed, banned, whatever they do. He was risking his life to show mercy. And I wonder, would I be willing to do that? His act saved 5 American lives. It was courageous. And in that moment, he chose to give up the advantage that he had over this wounded aircraft. Scripture says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." Could I be merciful to my enemy who wants the worst for me? Do you want to be righteous? Be merciful. The journey to mercy begins with self-awareness. It begins with this realization of who we are and what we're capable of. You know, we're capable for good. We're capable for evil. James says our mouths can speak praises and they can utter curses. We have to know that we are capable of one or the other. If we can realize this, then maybe we'll be able to understand that the other person is capable of good and evil as well. And I think if we realize our place in the world, maybe we'll start to see people a little differently. Because I think mercy is seeing others as God sees them. I mean, we aren't that different from each other, are we? Or are we? Remember the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18? A servant had owed a lot of money to his master, and his master, he begged for forgiveness. And his master says, here, let's go and read it, verse 26. "At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him. He canceled the debt and he let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay off the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?'" How merciful has God been to you? I think mercy turns the world upside down, because those who deserve to suffer, those people in misery who hurt other people, even though they deserve punishment, can we offer them mercy instead? We have the advantage. But would we be able to give up that advantage so that others may see love? It's difficult in extreme situations, I know that. But what about smaller situations? Can we be merciful to those people in our home in our offices. Maybe those people who continually perform poorly. Could we be merciful to those people in our schools who may talk badly about us? God commands us to show mercy. But how do we do this? Mercy is not passive. Mercy is acting on our compassion. It's compassion lived out. You can feel badly for someone. You can feel pity. But that's all it is if there's no action behind it. Maybe mercy is a change in our language. Maybe it means not saying what we really want to say, even though we have a right to say it. Sometimes mercy may instead be a kind word. Maybe mercy could be a loving response instead of what we really want to say. What we really want to say would make us feel so good, wouldn't it? But sometimes the merciful thing to say will leave us, it may leave us feeling like we should have taken advantage, make us feel like we've lost our rights. But I think mercy is a change in our language. It says this in Ephesians 4, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Do your words benefit others? Even the ones who don't deserve it. And mercy is sacrificing our advantage. This is hard. Oh, this is hard to do. Because mercy is sown through the sacrifice that we make every day. It grows to see others benefit. We say the word advantage. I keep saying this because I think that that's the theme in this entire passage is the idea of advantage. Those people who have it, those people who don't. How do you interact with each other? Do you take advantage or do you give it? Sometimes mercy is not demanding what you want, but instead letting someone else benefit from that. And mercy is made rich through empathy. It's made rich through that. Being able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. This is hard to do. Can we do that? Can we put ourselves in someone else's shoes? On the highway? That's hard. Could we practice radical mercy by forgiving someone regardless of what they've done to us or how they've treated us? Perhaps we should think of mercy as an act of love. Maybe it's an act of love for those people who don't deserve it. Perhaps mercy is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the merciful thing to do for someone who is in misery. Loving, forgiving, isn't this what we should be doing anyway? It says they will know we are Christians by what? By the sign on our church, by the clothes we wear, by what we do on a Sunday? No, it says they will know we are Christians by our love. Our love for each other, our love for everyone. So how do we show this love? And maybe it begins in little ways, through our words, through our actions. I'm going to tell you, God desires mercy. He wants us to be merciful. In the early days of Israel, these people had gotten so far away from the character and nature of God that they were destroying each other. And if they weren't killing each other, they were making each other miserable because they were suing each other and taking advantage over the other. And this is what God said to his people through Hosea 6, verse 6. He says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Mercy is the very character and nature of God. In fact, as we see here, God cares more about us being merciful to each other than he does how we worship. Whew. I would go so far to say that in those moments when we are unmerciful, we are sinning. That is sin. I would also go so far to say that if we come to church every Sunday without fail, but we aren't merciful, we are wasting our time. This is a hard subject for me because mercy is not easy. And it's unnatural, isn't it? It goes against the very order of the world. If you commit a sin, then you get punished. I'm not saying we should do away with prisons. I'm not saying that. But I know that sometimes our eye for an eye mentality is more than our love for our enemies mentality. Mercy is hard. It is not natural because it requires that we act on behalf of someone else and not ourselves. But Jesus said that there is a blessing. The blessing is you will be shown mercy. In Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5, it says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. He was merciful on us and gave us eternal life. What kind of mercy? That's crazy. We are sinners. He's not, but he showed us mercy anyway. He deserved to wipe us off the planet, but he did not. He showed us mercy. We killed his son, but he showed us mercy. How can he do that? I think it's love. It's radical. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. As we close, I want to encourage you that the mercy you show today to somebody will have lasting consequences. You may not see it, but it will have lasting forever consequences. Not just for you, but on those whom you have mercy. Franz Stiegler, remember the pilot, the German pilot? He didn't just save the lives of five men that day. Whenever he and Charles Brown met in the lobby of that hotel, Charles brought along with him pictures. Pictures of the 25 offspring that were able to find life in the past 50 years because of one man's choice to be merciful. What kind of life will your mercy spawn today? Does God want you to bring others to a loving, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Maybe we start by being merciful, as God has been merciful to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Our Father in heaven, thank you for today. I pray that this message goes forth. I pray that you teach us. And I'm reluctant to pray for an opportunity to be merciful because I usually know that will mean giving up my rights. But I pray, Lord, that we will recognize how merciful you've been to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.